The best in sports talk all day long and Detroit Tigers baseball all season long. We're Lansing Sports Station, The Game, 730 AM WVFN.
Welcome back to Drive with Jack Ebling, The Game, 730 AM. Today's show presented by Frank's Press Box. Family owned and operated for over 20 years. Come in and enjoy a signature pizza, burger, hot wings while you watch the game on one of our 40 HD TVs on West Saginaw, just east of I-96, or on Woodland Drive near Jolly and Okemos. Co-host today, Graham Couch, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal. Do we have our guest on the line, Doug?
Yep.
All right, it is time for Psychologically Speaking, and our guest, renowned psychologist, Dr. John H. Braccio. Hello, Dr. John B. How are you?
Well, I'm actually never better. I always wish Delaney went to Big Ten commissioner, but otherwise I'm happy as can be.
You know, I don't think I've talked to John Braccio in the last year that he has not gotten at least one shot in on Jim Delaney.
I just wrote a column about the bowl thing for tomorrow's Lansing State Journal about the new bowls and new setup.
Uh-huh.
And the idea that, you know, they're going to rotate. The rotation won't be based on prestige, but where you've been before so much.
And right.
But one of the lines I had in there
is, for Wisconsin.
It's really bad for us.
The Rose Bowl.
Yeah. The Rose Bowl's not included.
Not that. No, you're talking about the second
tier. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But one of the lines I said is, when he delivers news, sometimes you have to ask him to repeat it because he would deliver the end of the world with the same tone as he would talk about coaching salaries. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just this very, very, very matter-of-fact, dry.
Dr. John B. would say that he would be delivering the end of the world in his mind if Michigan and Ohio State were not playing for everything the last game of the season.
Well, particularly when it's not even that huge of a game nationally when you look at the SEC. But listen, Jack, that's one of the things we'll never fully agree on.
Right,
I think
right.
Until all teams are promoted in the middle of the pack, the teams get better. The Big Ten is not going to compete with the SEC. That is due to Delaney in many ways. I call him Delaney affectionately. But I do think that's reality. But that's not why we're talking today.
No, that's not why we're talking. And, John, you do have my full support when Delaney steps down for this position. So I just want you to know that.
Listen, I'd rather be like you. I'd rather be the person who's out there looking at how things would do. But I'll have ideas like always, like most things.
The Boston Bruins had some ideas.
Oh, my.
Had ideas of a Game 7, and then they had ideas of what are they going to do for tee times.
Well, you know, that was a pretty tragic type of thing when Chicago put six guys out there a little over a minute to go, and they score a goal, that's bad enough. But then to end up losing, and then rather than thinking of the championship game, the Stanley Cup, losing, that is really heartbreak, and you have to look for other reasons in life for living other than Stanley Cup. Like, the fact you got that far is a big thing, and then if you have friends and people you love and care for, that's when you have to start focusing on other things, not just winning hockey games.
We have seen teams in the playoffs, Graham, whether it was the Red Wings have a victory ripped away from them or gag it away. We've seen the Maple Leafs look like they had everything, and then the Bruins took it away with four goals late in the game. And last night it happened to the Bruins. It makes you wonder whether you're almost better to be swept or to have these excruciating losses where you are so tantalizingly close and you end up with nothing.
I think it depends what happens down the road, too. I think if you're able to come back and somehow win it the next year, that closeness that becomes something that was part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never get back, I'd almost rather be swept.
Does that scar you, John? Does it leave an imprint that makes it very difficult to ever be whole?
Well, I think something like that is really devastating. I do really feel, though, that if we go back to the 10-10 tie, I'm going to go all the way back to 66,
right,
for that, you know, the game of the century at that time.
Right.
That I think that even though the national championship ended up going to the man who went for the tie, play for the tie, is I think
right,
what the coach was saying over the precision.
Mm-hmm.
I still think those guys, when they get together, I think they're going to always be talking, still talking about that game, as long as some of those guys are still alive and kicking,
right,
and there's still a number of them around. Where if it had been a 52-0 blowout or something, mm-hmm, like actually happened to USC the next week at Notre Dame,
right,
I think that would be in the long run worse. I think I agree. I actually completely agree with Granger. I think for the short run, that's a hard thing to get over. It's a hard thing to even get over starting next year. But for a lifetime, I would rather have gotten that far rather than being just run over historically. So we, with the short run, I agree. Long run, I think they will be better to use this as an example for the rest of their lives, because they're going to be people in the locker room remembering this game like they're going to be the Red Wings, what happened to them in that sixth game against Chicago
right.
in that third period where they gave up goals. So, yeah, it's a question of how people use it in their life, and it's a tough way to lose.
Well, and I think it might have been more difficult had it been reversed. Hockey is such a long season. This one a little bit shorter than most, but it is a long grind. And if you're the Blackhawks, you had this amazing run for a while where you hadn't lost a game in a year, a calendar year actually almost. And to have that just be worthless, it's like the year the Red Wings won a record amount of games or whatnot, or won 60 some games, and didn't win the cup. I think that would, you know, the fact that you start the journey over again and you were the favorite, you were the team that had everything going for you in the regular season, you've got to do it all over again. I think that would be just, and 2 months later, that would be hard to stomach.
I talked to a guy who followed UNLV when they had that tremendous team back in 91 and won the championship the previous year.
And didn't win it,
got beat by Duke in the semifinal. And he said that the whole season was in the toilet, meant nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can look at that in football too, John. We have seen it with some local schools and programs. Certainly some people at Michigan would tell you they would rather have lost to Oregon by 4 or 5 touchdowns than to have lost to Cordell Stewart on a 73-yard pass. Or they would rather have lost to Michigan State and gained 30 yards rushing than they would with T.J. Duckett standing in the end zone fair catching a pass that may or may not have been in time. And you see the same thing with Michigan State.
But those games are so unforgettable. There's something about an unforgettable event, maybe that's part of human nature, chasing fire engines, that people tend to remember some of these remarkably good, remarkably bad. Like last year, let's just take MSU football. Who could forget the Nebraska game, the Northwestern game, the Ohio State game? Those are games. Now, I want to remember only the good ones, like the two Wisconsin games the last couple of years. But that's, you know, it is exciting in life to remember ups and downs and close losses and close victories, even though we love to beat everybody 80-0.
And here would be the difference, I think, between MSU last year and other things. MSU last year lost a number of close games. The Nebraska one, probably for MSU fans, very heartbreaking. But they didn't have a very good year, so it didn't ruin anything big. If that had been the game that cost them a Rose Bowl.
Well, what about the game against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship where they thought it was there?
That was more painful. That one more painful, and I also think the for me, when I can't look at Rasheed Wallace without saying, get a hand up on Big Shot Bob Rob Ory.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, because what happened in the 2005, in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, that moment I would rather forget, and it ruins that whole group for me in a lot of ways because they needed a second title. I mean, there can be moments, that entire group, that player, that era, that comes to mind first, and I remember it, but it's negatively.
And John, does it make a difference how you lose a game like that, whether it's your mistake or someone else's great play? We talk about a game in 1986 against Iowa with an interception. Yeah. And we talk about maybe the Browns driving for a touchdown that's going to put them in the Super Bowl, and there's a fumble at the goal line or something like that where it's your own mistake. You don't have anyone to blame as opposed to an opponent's great play.
I think it's far worse to lose yourself. Like, I still remember that misty 86 game. And then Urema's running to his right and doesn't throw it high, doesn't walk in, throws the interception, just the whole place dissolved. That was a mistake on our part. 86 was loaded, if you remember that year, with games like that.
Right.
Maybe not quite that bad. I think that's worse. If someone does a great play, like I will never forget, you know, that championship game where the quarterback, he's going back and he just throws the ball up in the air. We've got two guys defending. This is in the fourth quarter. And the guy catches it. That's a great play. I would rather lose on a play like that than I would like running into the kicker or doing something that you have caused yourself. But there, any way you look at it, it's tragic. And Michigan people still look back at the 90 game and blame the ref for that game and the clock for the guy in 2001. You know, but in this case, those are cases where I say good to get any extra help you can get, whether it's true or not. So it's but if you lose and you do it yourself, I think it's 100 times worse than if someone does a great play and beats you, because you can at least say they deserve to win.
And I think it also makes a difference, Graham, whether it's something that you waited forever to achieve. Like Michigan State had not been to the Rose Bowl since 1998, January 1st, or 1988. Rather, January 1st. So it had been a long time between that and the Big Ten championship game. It's a little bit like a situation with the Red Sox, where they had not won a world championship forever, 1918, and the ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs. It's not like the Yankees, where if you don't get it this year, you'll get it in two, three more years.
That's true. I think that's a very true way to look at it, Jack. I think Graham would agree with that.
John, before we let you go, I want you to weigh in on a question that's come up here. Doug was talking about Scotty Bowman being as good as any coach who has ever plied his trade in the state of Michigan. Thinking about Red Wings, Pistons, Lions, Tigers, Spartans, Wolverines, who has done the best single job of coaching? One coach, the best of all of them.
I'm actually going to surprise you with Biggie Munn.
Okay.
Meaning, and here's my reasoning. He came into a program that was just really trying to develop an enormously worse position than Michigan State is now in the Big Ten. Took a school that may not even deserve to be in academically. Won games, was able to really turn into a big-time program with a lot of help from Callahan and Notre Dame, I might add. And was able to win, and when we go into the Big Ten, able to win actually remarkably better than Duffy did, nothing against Duffy or anyone else. I would take him, but on the other hand, Bowman was one heck of a person. But, the Red Wings have had such a long history of greatness, it's kind of hard to pick a person. It almost might depend on the age of the person, and maybe my age is showing why I think.
Right. I think you can make a strong case for so many guys.
Izzo might be another one. That might deserve that type, but we're talking about all sports. He might be another one. And Shem Beckler, golly, the more you think about it, because he resurrected a program that was dead. They call it the evil years in '50s and '60s in Ann Arbor, the forgotten years. I forget exactly what they call it down on their radio station. So definitely great teams, great players, but I think I would take Biggie at that particular time in MSU history, maybe for a major sport.
Well, it's hard to imagine Michigan State football today if it hadn't gone through that period under Biggie Munn and setting it up from 47 through 53. And everything that Duffy followed with, he was able to sustain it with a couple of hiccups there, but basically able to build on what Biggie Munn did. But Biggie Munn built on basically rubble.
Michigan State could be like Cincinnati or something.
Yes.
Could be looking for a league in a
very much so
in a much more mid-level situation.
Very much so, John. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk
always
to you again
a pleasure,
next week,
guys.
All right. That is Psychologically Speaking, and we'll be right back with more At Issue coming up next.